lift those hands wherever you are, declaring, H-O-A. Oh, now.
On Radio Razzo every Monday from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock in the morning for your spiritual lessons and upliftment, for community news, your interviews, special requests, and others. Tune into 105.2 MHz ETA and 103.8 MHz on cable. We delight and entertain you.
Hey, we also have more stuff coming your way. We have business matters. We have social and educational matters. We have health and healing matters. We also have legal matters.
For more information, call us on 020-368-1968. We delight and entertain you. Voices of Niger on Radio Razzo every Monday from 6 to 10 a.m. Razzo.
Voice of Niger is right here to promote your business. Yes, your social events, weddings, birthday parties, baby ceremonies, graduation, anniversaries, engagements. All your events can be promoted right here on Voice of Niger. Yes, you heard me right. Don't know about you because you're not promoting your business. Yeah, we can bring you the awareness that you need for all those revivals, seminars, special events, conferences, church services, your Sunday services, your social events, weddings, birthday parties, baby ceremonies, graduation, anniversaries, engagements. Call us today right now at 06-846-06-550. That's 06-846-06-550. Voice of Niger, your place to advertise. Worship.
God of all the earth, Alpha Omega, Adonai, we bow before you're awesome, Ibella, Odira.
Morning to you out there. My name is Apostle Larry Duggan, and this is Radio Niger coming to you on the airwaves of Radio Russell. Beautiful sunny Monday morning.
You are great.
And we are sure that it'll be a good day. You are so most welcome to this morning's show, and we want you to stick with us for the next 2 hours. At the most, you will enjoy every bit of it.
You are great.
I promise you.
You are great.
You are great.
Oh, you are great.
You are. You are great. This song is just to lift up the name of the Lord, to extol His greatness.
You are great. You
are. And I want to invite you to be a part of it as we lift up the name of the Lord, to bless His name and worship Him. Shall we declare this session open with a word of prayer? And Father God, once again, all the glory, praise, and honor belongs to you. On behalf of myself, my wife, our household, on behalf of all the believers in this city, this nation, we want to thank you that your mighty hands have kept and sustained us. You have been our provider, our healer, our comforter. We want to ask you this day, Lord, to go ahead of us and lead us every step of the way. Bless and prosper the work of our hands. We commit this broadcast especially into your hands, that you will use it to touch lives and help us all. Thank you for every home that is receiving this broadcast. Every man and woman, every family. My God, touch them deeply at the points of their need. Work a wonder in our lives. Magnify and exalt your holy name. Let the glory of the Lord be poured out as never before. Thank you so very much, Lord. Be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. as you know, I'm in the studio here, Apostle Helen Roof. We'll be, well, you'll be hearing her voice shortly. She's live in the studio. We will be bringing to you highlights of what's coming your way today. Our duty this morning to be serving you with some very good gospel music, tidbits from the Word of God, and a lot more. To all our fans out there, good morning. And we want you to engage with us today. And let's have a great time together. To bring to you now the psalm of today, taking it from Psalm 75. Psalm 75. It says, "I will give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works. Declare that your name is near. When I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. The Lord, the earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I set up its pillars firmly. I said to the boastful, do not deal boastfully. And to the wicked, do not lift up your horns. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge, and he puts down one and exalts another. For in the cup, in the hand of the Lord, there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is fully mixed. He pours it out. Surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down. But I will declare forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked will I also cut off. But the horns of the righteous shall be exalted." Say amen. The horns of the righteous shall be exalted. As a symbolic language of saying the authority and the power, the strength of the righteous shall be exalted. God will ensure that whatever pertains to you will be established, and anything to the contrary will be subdued and broken. Say a big amen to that. Enjoy the music as it comes. And we get ready to bring to you in the course of time, the Word of God. And after that, a piece of the pastoral forum. Today we'll be continuing our healthy lifestyle segment. We'll be talking to a migrant mother and a native Dutch mother. And we'll be looking at what it takes to raise healthy children from both cultural angles, cultural, racial angles. We want you to be very much a part of this great time, this great discussion that will be coming up from 9 o'clock. Again, in case you just join us, this is Radio Niger, coming to you on the airwaves of Radio Razo. Good morning to all of you out there, our friends and fans, Uncle Bobo and the rest of them, Madam Yvonne and all those good people out there. God bless you. The known ones and the unknown ones. This is Radio Niger live on the airwaves of Radio Razo. Getting ready to blow you away with the word of God, and after that, some other nice things. God bless you. Enjoy the show.
Thank you. We want to say our God reigns in all the earth. And wave your hands to Jesus.
Incomparable.
Okay, now it's time for the Word of God, and I'm glad and honored to present to you this morning Apostle Heller of Dokino.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, somebody. I'm glad to be coming your way this hour. As you have heard, my name is Apostle Helen Ruth Dokino of Rivers of Life Bible Church. I'm positioned this moment to bring a few words of exhortation to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we bless you. We give you praise for a bright new day you've just given unto us again. We thank you for the gift of life. Holy Spirit, please take absolute control and use these lips of clay for the glory of your name. I pray that you touch the ears of our hearers, that they would, oh God, hear the word of God without any distraction and let it minister to them life. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all the saints joyfully say, big amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. honestly speaking, I really want to encourage us from my heart, deep down my heart, even though I'm going to read some scriptures, but I just want to talk about signs of mature Christians. Why is this important? It's very, very important for us in Christendom to try to grow. When we grow in our spiritual dealings, and we grow and become mature Christians, the job will become easier, and the world will become better. Because sometimes it baffles me why people easily get irritated, and why maturity is not being displayed among us, even when we say we are Christians. Therefore, if you are listening to this broadcast and you are a Christian, I am encouraging you to grow, encouraging you to become matured. When people are mature, there are certain things we see in them. So if you are mature in the Lord, you will show up with the attitudes of Christ. Can I hear amen? You will be like Christ. People will see you and see me, and we will become readable. We will become readable. They may not necessarily go to the Bible to read, but our exemplary lifestyle will depict, will show, and will promote and lift up Christ in the nation that we are in. Say a big amen. The Bible tells me in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, from verse 22, let's read. It says, then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. The news, the good news of what was happening around after the crucifixion, after the stoning of Stephen, and the church have scattered by that time. People have gone to various places. They have taken, they have hidden themselves in some areas, you know, the disciples of Jesus. So what happened was that there was much persecution, but in the midst of the persecution, things were still happening among them. The Bible said the news of these things, what great things that was happening, reached the church in Jerusalem. And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. And he encouraged them all that were with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. Hallelujah. They should continue with the Lord. That means he encouraged them. The disciples, they have scattered. They have gone to places, run to different cities and different villages. But the power of God was still with them. Why? Because that seed that had been sown in them, the seed of salvation, went with them wherever they were. They were genuinely converted and became followers of Christ. So if you are a child of God and you say you are a Christian, you must be genuinely converted. You must genuinely leave the old nature, genuinely repent, genuinely confess your sins, and then take Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. And then when you have genuinely done these things, I'm telling you, there is no way the old nature will be showing up and will outgrow the new nature of Christ, which is in you. Though you may still have the old body, but through the confession that you have made, you have obtained salvation. That means you've been salvaged, you've been saved from your wretchedness. You've been saved from the old nature. You've been saved from the things that have the power to destroy. And now you put on Christ. That means you are now having the semblance of Christ in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, grow up. Say, grow, become a mature Christian. It is so sweet when you become a mature Christian. That's the time God can trust you with things. He can trust. I mean, just like in the natural, you cannot give a child what he can't handle. Many of us are crying and telling, Papa God, please do this, do this, do this. Daddy, do this, do this. Father in heaven, please do this, do this. But we are not getting them because he is expecting some certain level of maturity which we are not displaying. So he cannot give to you that which you are craving for because you are not mature. When you give a child that is craving for fire because he's looking at the flame and it is very, very interesting to him, and you put that fire in his hand, it will burn him. So certain things we are craving, but because we are not mature, we can't receive them. So if you want to be receiving from God, please grow and be mature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Bible said, this guy traveled. They went as far as to go and be looking for Saul. And the Bible also said, the same Barnabas they sent, that he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the church. So then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. When they were sending somebody to go and meet Saul, after they have heard that this Saul had become converted, they didn't just send somebody who was a novice. They didn't just send somebody who is like a yo-yo. They sent forth a man. A man that was written in the Bible as a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said he was also full of faith. So look at the qualities of mature man. He was what? A good man. A good man. The Bible called him a good man. The Bible called him a man that was full of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit? See? He was full of it. And then the Bible also said he was a man full of faith. So, you see that? You see? The goodness of God in the life of this man began to be manifested to the point that people can testify that indeed he was a good man, he was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was full of faith. Why did they send such a man to go and meet Saul? Because they know that he wasn't just going to go and meet ordinary person. He was just going to go and meet somebody who have once been persecuting the church, who was full of wisdom, who was, you know, who had become too learned in the secular world. So they needed somebody that would be able to contend this man to go and meet him and bring him. So the goodness he displayed met others who saw them to now say, indeed, these are Christians. Christians means followers of Christ. Are you hearing me? That word Christian means a follower. And a follower of Christ is a disciple. Or a disciple is a follower of Christ. Then the question is, if you become a matured Christian, then you are now a disciple. And then my question is, are you a disciple? Are you really, really a true follower of Christ? This morning, I encourage you to know that you can only be called that word, that name, Christian, when they have seen people, the outside world, have seen that you are really displaying the nature of Christ. Let me read what I saw. Somebody posted on Facebook or WhatsApp, and it really touched me. Qualities of a matured Christian. Say, one, they speak the truth at all time. It's beautiful. Do you speak the truth? And I agree, I concur with that. Do you speak the truth? Are you saying something on Sunday and then Monday you are another person? Today now is Monday. Some of us will be going to work and some of us are on the way and some of us have already reached. What sort of language do you speak there among your colleagues that will make them know that you are a follower of Christ? Yesterday you've been in church shouting and praising God. But I encourage that same joy and that same way you displayed yesterday, you will display it in your environment this very day and this very week. The Bible said they are good listeners. Are you a good listener or are you a talker? Good listeners. You see, those who follow Christ, a mature Christian must be able to be a good listener. Because without you listening very good, how would you be able to assimilate? How would you understand when the correct message is coming? How would you hear from God? So today we have people who will just go on their knees and they pray, they rattle and rattle out and they just get up. They don't even care to know what God is saying to them. Please grow up and be matured. Because when you grow and you are matured, you will be able to know what is the will of God, an acceptable will of God for you in this very season. As long as you are praying every day, God will speak to you. I pray that you will become a good listener so that you don't only speak to God, but you learn to listen. Mature Christians, they hardly take offense. Wow, I love this one. Yes, even the Bible tells us, offense will abound and offense will come. But woe unto the person from whom offense cometh. Because of offense, people leave the body of Christ. Because of offense, people leave relationships. Because of offense, people are wounded and they leave their jobs. Because of offense, nobody is ready to trust anybody. But matured Christians can go through offense. They can put up. They can really endure offense and overcome it. You don't need to break out from relationships when offense comes up, but endure it and go through it. And that will be a very good mark. That people will look into your life and say, this woman, she doesn't take offense, so you can say anything. And she has a way of just playing through the whole thing and then offense doesn't stay continuously. It comes and it goes. So, but your ability to handle it when it comes would what will show that you are a mature Christian. Look at this. He said, mature Christians are quick to forgive. Is it true? Yes, it is. Without forgiveness, your sins can never be written off. So if you want your sins to be written off by God the Father, you also must learn to forgive. You forgive and then you can go before God boldly because you're forgiving somebody else, and then you can also ask God to forgive you. But what do we have? Immature Christians are not. It's, when I talk about immature, I'm not talking about just people who are not good. I'm talking about people who have even been in church for years, but they have not grown to become matured because of little squabbles here and there. They take offense, they carry unforgiveness, and they carry bitterness, and they sow that seed of bitterness from generation to generation. They are never happy worshiping God. Today I pray that you will become, you will be set free. I pray that the Lord will help you. Let me tell you, mature Christians are reliable. Can God trust you? In the midst of storm, are you reliable? Can your overseer trust you? Can those that have been worshiping with, can they trust you? Or are you the type, immediately a new church comes in town, you jump and then you move to that. And then you lie. You are once a member when you were in Africa, so the church has come here now, then you have to jump. There was this lady, within 2 years, this person have gone to 4 churches. And I begin to wonder, how come? What are they really looking for? Going from one place to place to place to place. You are not matured. As long as you are not matured, you can never be trusted with anything tangible. May God set us free from immaturity. And just to end up this because of my time, mature Christians are supportive. You see, they support. They stand with you. Just like when Moses went to the mountain, you see Joshua and the rest of Caleb and the nun, they had to put something in their hands and they had to carry up the hand of the man of God so that he can be sustained in prayer. Are you supportive? In what way are you supporting the work of God? In what way are you standing with Christendom? Are you supportive? Or you are the type who will complain of what you know and what you do not know? And immediately you go to church, they are talking about raising funds for one thing or the other. You're checking out. You just quickly go because that's why you don't want to hear about it. If you have that nature, God can never trust you with anything. I pray that you will grow up and you will become matured. I pray that maturity will find you, that you yourself will determine to grow as a child of God. I'm leaving you with this word this very week, and I believe that it must have loved. It will bless you. You see, why Barnabas was trusted to go and search for a man like Saul? It was just because they have seen that if he goes, he was full of the Holy Spirit, and there was no rattling from Paul or Saul that will make him not to trust in what he has believed, which is in Christ. And they know that he wasn't going by his capacity. He was full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. Can your church ask you to go and fetch those who are backslided or who are persecuting Christ, persecuting the word? Without you going there, if they present you a philosopher, you will just sit there, and then the philosopher will dazzle you. You are not matured. Because if you know what you have believed in, you will stand firm and, you know, proclaim Christ no matter the environment you are in. I pray that the Lord will make us mature Christians. I pray that he will make us mature Christians, that we will not go about just going to church like nominal Christians, but we will desire to become mature in that which we profess. May God bless you and keep you, and may he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you as you walk through this whole week. In Jesus' name, I pray with thanksgiving. Say a big amen. Remember, this has come to you from my humble self, Apostle Henry, talking of Rivers of Life Bible Church. You can join us every Sunday in Rikers verse number 89 from 10 o'clock. I look forward to hearing from you. Stay blessed and keep listening to Radio Voice of Niger. Bye for now.
That was the powerful word of God from the Apostle Helen Ruth Ducker, the director of Radio Niger. before we hit the hour of 9 o'clock, I would like to bring to you a piece of the pastoral forum. So just stand by. Broadcast and programs. The pastoral forum today will be talking about issues pertaining to the second coming. So stick around, and we soon going to be airborne with the pastoral forum. We have a special guest for the show this morning. Bless you. Somebody up, text somebody, pick up your phone, call somebody, let them join us this morning on the pastoral forum. The pastoral forum. Yes, 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 yes. Imagine when Jesus comes back. Would you be ready? You are going to like this one, I'm telling you. Call somebody up. Let's share this wonderful moment together. Learn about what's going to happen. The coming of Jesus is very, very close. So, get ready. Shortly. As you know, this is Voice of Niger, Radio Voice of Niger. And we're transmitting right now on 105.2 megahertz on heater and 103.8 on cable. So if this is your first time tuning in to the Pastoral Forum, we will be talking about the second coming of Christ, issues pertaining to the second coming. So you are in for a good treat, and I have a specialist on this subject. And I will be introducing our guest shortly, so stay tuned. Yes, welcome back, listeners, to the Pastoral Forum. And it's my honor this hour to introduce to you our guest for today, Dr. Peter Hayes. He is a lecturer in eschatology.
Seminary. Tyndale Theological
Seminary. Thank you. Here in Bad Hoeverdorp. And I would like to use this opportunity to thank the dean and the staff of Tyndale for granting this opportunity that we may bring to you this very special interview. Welcome, Dr. Peter, to Voice of Niger today.
Thank you very much, Larry. It's a joy to be here.
Well, first of all, I would like you to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. And also your background as far as this topic is concerned.
Well, I did not grow up in a Christian home. But when I was 17 and went away to study, I met some believers, and they told me about Jesus Christ. And very quickly, it became clear to me that the message of Jesus Christ is the truth. Through studying the book of Hebrews and through the life witness of this fellowship, I was deeply convicted of my own need for salvation in Christ and gave my life to Him. I've been very thankful for God's grace at that moment and every moment since then. When I had lived for a short time in this fellowship for a year or two, I realized that the Lord was calling me into ministry, and so I set off first to study at Bible College in Philadelphia, and then attended seminary in Portland, Oregon in the United States, and finally in Dallas, Texas, where I got a doctorate in systematic theology. Then shortly after graduating from Dallas, I came over to the Netherlands and have been serving here for 22 years as a missionary with Greater Europe Mission. I've done church planting and have been working for about 15 years with Tyndale Seminary.
Awesome, awesome. We thank God for all He's put into you, and we hope to gain something from your experience over the years. Thank you very much for that insight. Now, let's proceed to the topic of our discussion today, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, this is a topic some people would not dare look into because it looks so complicated, and some just have a rather shallow understanding of this whole topic. And but thank God that you are an expert and an authority. I would like to ask you, as a starting question, what are the most important prophetic landmarks leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ?
Well, I think that's a very important question because of what you just shared, that many people fail to realize the significance of studying eschatology. Eschatology, of course, is a fancy word meaning the study of the end times, what God has planned from really before the beginning of time to work out in terms of bringing His kingdom, His rule, His reign, and His blessing to the earth. We have seen so many prophecies fulfilled that have been explained to us first in the scripture and then fulfilled by God's hand in history, that we can have every confidence that every single prophecy that's in the scripture will come true. And we have a prophecy many times that Jesus Christ will come a second time. He will return to gather all the believers and to establish a wonderful and glorious and blessed kingdom. And to let the world rob us of that confidence and that joy and that hope is a sad thing. And though the scriptures are sometimes challenging in some of the statements about the future, they're not at all too difficult for people to understand.
If I may just come in here. Our audience comprises both religious and non-religious people. So I would want us to make our discussions as down to earth as possible so that those who are not religious enough can relate to the issues we're talking about. So I just wanted to give you a hint on that as we proceed.
Okay, very good. Indeed, I think this message, the return of Jesus Christ, is very relevant and important for everyone on the face of the earth. The scripture actually says that when the Lord returns, that every eye will see Him return. And that so that means it's important for everybody to know. It's certainly not just important for Christians. One text I think of immediately is Matthew 16, when Jesus was in discussion with the Pharisees. And he actually criticized the Pharisees. He said to them, you know, you see the sun turning red at night, and you say tomorrow will be fair weather. And then he went on to say, but you fail to interpret the signs of the times. See, Jesus looked at these people.